Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! But mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Well, we don't hate you. We love you here at Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive radio show on Long Island. With your host, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, who is has no audio, so I have to make sure we can get Chris back on the show here. Righty, my brother, let's see. That's right. You're up. You're on. He's got no audio. Oh, interesting. Where's the ball to throw at the window? Anyway, we're here to talk about all of our audio problems. They're going to be solved right now. Chris cannot hear me. So I have, the Adobe is up, right?
And I can't hear you.
Now I can hear you. I can hear Chris.
Chris can't hear you.
I just heard Chris. Say something. Speak again, Chris.
Yeah, I can.
I hear him, yeah.
I'm not hearing you.
He's not hearing me at all. Okay, Chris doesn't. So we're going to do a little engineering on the fly while we try and get Chris.
I don't. Yeah,
I'm doing the same thing. Like, what the heck is going on? That's muted.
And this is,
yeah, and that's.
No, this isn't the other way around.
No.
You have to take the phone call, right?
Yes, exactly.
As we try to figure this out.
Right.
What about this? It's really low.
Okay, bring that up. Yeah, I load that for how about now, Chris? Is that better?
Hello!
That's. Okay, that's the volume that.
Low down?
That is it a little too loud? Is that, or is that good?
No, that's fine. That's actually very good. Thank you.
Okay, now that we've taken 3 minutes to figure out what worked in our last iteration before the show, now doesn't work during the show, which is no surprise to me at all.
I love a good ghost in the machine. That is the.
Oh my word!
Hi, Ray.
Hi, Chris. Anyway, like I said, it's Ray and Chris with you. Motormouth Radio, you can give us a call if you want at 516-572-7440 and follow us on all of our social media platforms. Well, they're your social media platforms too. Motormouth Radio on the website, on Twitter, and on Facebook, or Faccia Bruta, as we like to call it. And, of course, we're real _ Motormouth Radio on Instagram, where we post pictures of all the things we get involved in during the week.
That's right, and we can see if the phone works if you call us at 516-572-7440. Here from Trumbull, Connecticut, and Garden City, Long Island, of course, the entertainment capital of the world. We are live, as you can tell.
Yes, absolutely, we are live. So we're coming off our Mother's Day tribute, which has been a little abbreviated now because of our situation, but we still had a good show. And I encourage people to go. You go on the website, motormouthradio.com, and you can listen to that show where we highlighted some of the best bits from the past year and change. So
that's right. We celebrate all you mothers out there. It's always a good one.
And if you go under the blogs tab, there's a link to take you to older Mother's Day shows where we did the full-blown hour of. And that's something you may want to hear. You know, people are always surprised when they say, hey, I heard myself on that show. And yeah, well, you know, you bit made it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's always, it is, to me, I guess you could say the highest praise one can give, the most amount of accolades one can give to from a radio show is when you make it to the best of.
Yeah.
And I think I truly think that there are callers out there that strive for such lofty heights.
Some people actually have. You're right. They actually did look to try and salt themselves into the best of.
Yes, that is part of that provenance, I guess you would say.
So provenantially, what you doing? What went on during the week automotively? Any good stuff?
Oh, let me tell you. I have to say that our peers, our advice givers, and our body shop technicians were all right.
Okay, I know where you're going here, right?
Because every idea I had for putting that chrome lower strip on the side of the car, every one of them was thwarted in some way, shape, or form.
Wow.
Could not do it. Couldn't get it right. I had to resort to using regular good old sheet metal screws, drilling holes, sheet metal screw, and some silicone to keep it from rusting, and get them in there, line them up, send it in, call it a day. But when I tell you snapping that chrome strip on there, on those 10 clips that ran the length of the car, and we're talking about a good 8.5, 9 feet. I think it was like 87 inches long, the strip itself. And then snapping that thing into place, I almost had a stroke.
Yeah, so to recap, you were putting the rocker panel molding on the car that didn't come with it previously.
Correct.
Okay.
That is it. Because if it did, there would be Chrysler and his inevitable wit and wisdom. You put these nails, literally affix these nails into the rocker panel. So you had to take the clip and kind of slip it on and lock it into place on these nails. Well, I didn't have that luxury.
Right.
I had to drill a hole and put a screw there and use that as the nail, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it was most of the job was spent lining everything up. And when I tell you I got 9 of them to click shut, there was that 10th one in the middle. That dirty old, if I had a rock, the 10th one, I couldn't get that thing in, so I left it.
I had the same problem putting the windshield trim molding on my Pontiac. We got all the clips, bang, bang, boom. They're just mics on one side, I'm on the other. Pop, pop, you know, heel your hand, poop, poop, drop it right in.
Oh, yeah.
We get the one in the middle, like, dun, 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 dun. It's popping back. I'm like, what now? And now it's like, okay, let's try it a little harder. Now it's like a rubber hammer. Now it's like a block of wood and a rag. Like, there's always. So I actually left it and saw my buddy Jeff, the glass guy, and said, hey, listen, can you look? And he got it, you know, because he sees that a lot more than we do.
Right, right.
But, you know,
that's what I was doing, the same thing. I was holding the top of the chrome strip, and the chrome strip has got to be about 2 inches wide. So I got the top of it, the door is open. I'm holding the top of it with one hand, and with the other hand, like you say, the greatest tool in the world is that ball of your hand right under your thumb.
Yeah.
And I'm leaning there like pushing with everything I have just to hear that click, 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 click. And I got it 9 times. That 10th time, I'm like, nothing.
Nothing.
You'll
be
all
right.
I feel it. I know it's there, but it's like that.
And, you know, the good thing is, at the end of the day, that molding is the lowest part of the car. And it, although it does set it off and you'll see it, it's hard to scrutinize it unless you're down on your belly looking, you know, looking at it. So let me ask you this. How did you have the car situated to work on that part?
Oh, I didn't jack it up at all. I left it the way it was. I left it on the ground. Yeah, I didn't jack it up. I left it there.
Did you dig a hole and sit in it?
No, but I laid down a lot.
Yeah, sure.
I actually worked. I have a, it's like a thin foam rubber. It's almost like it's like a weak yoga mat, basically. And I drop that on the ground and I get on the, the reason why is because I had to slide.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to slide up and take care and try and snap one in and then slide back to the back of the car and then slide to the front of the car. So you get quite a rash when you're on the cement doing that. So I had to resort. I guess old age will solve a lot of problems, and that was one of them.
Right, right.
Because if I was probably in my teens, it would be scampering back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Everything would be swell, but yeah. No, not now.
Right.
Now when you're old, you have to reinvent. I mean, it's just, I still need my head examined for doing, I still have to do it again. I have to do the other side now. I only did one side.
Well, that's my question. Do you think now the other side will be a little easier because you've gone through the process once?
I hope so, yeah.
Usually that's the way it works.
It took all week. It took all week to do one freaking side.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I had to do it in stages. Like, basically, you have to put the panel up against the car, but how do you hold it there? So I had these regular, like, wood clamps with those rubber bumpers. They look like yeah. guns. They look like mm-hmm. rifles, right? And you squeeze the trigger to get them to close, and then there's a little trigger in front of it that pops them back open again. So I had those things on there, and I took a regular magic marker, and I just ran the magic marker along the top of the body while the chrome was affixed to the car with those clamps.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, align it up, get it right, and then run the right. And then from there I measured down to where I'm drilling my holes.
Right.
And of course I'm drilling one hole, but then I had to drill two more to the three holes.
Did you find any Bondo like you feared?
A little bit in the front on the fender, a little bit, not a lot.
Okay,
but,
good.
There probably was body work under there that I conveniently covered.
Right, right.
So,
no, good.
But no, thankfully, there were no surprises. It was all mostly metal. I was very pleased.
Right.
But I am covering up some stuff. I mean, I could probably do the body work on the car, but I figured, cover it up with chrome. Hey,
yeah, why not?
Why not?
That's always a good way to do it.
Hey, if you want to do body work, cover it up with chrome.
That's good. No, it's fine. That's fine. That's very good. Yeah. That's that'll. I'm glad you got that done. I'm sure the other side will be easier, or at least more straightforward.
Unless I'm going to start on it right after we stop talking. I'm actually going to go out there and start on it.
Unless that's where all the Bondo is.
Yeah, no problem.
Then just get an extra tube of high grade silicon.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I got to ask you a question, a carburetor question.
Okay.
I think I told you, I took the car out and I drove longer than I should have.
Right.
The car was running for at least, and I'm serious, about a half an hour, 40 minutes. And I noticed that the idle kept dropping and dropping and dropping. You know, like I like to keep a car idling at a lower than normal.
Yeah.
But this was way too low. I mean, I was idling at maybe like 150 RPM. It was loping. It was going blah, 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 blah. And uh-huh. you know, it's just a matter of time before it drops and stalls, which it did. So I had to feather it, just keep my foot leaned on the pedal, just bring up the revs. While I was waiting for a traffic light and things like that. And I thought, okay, let me just readjust the carburetor because I didn't drive the car that long. So I must have been always on choke
right.
when I had the car out for the 10 or 20 minutes of time. So I noticed that when I readjust the carburetor, everything is fine. But when I started up in the morning, my choke is now gone. I don't have any sort of high idle. My step, for some reason, is completely been obliterated, and I still don't know why because I didn't adjust it. But I also noticed when I pull away, I get a pop through the top of the carburetor, just one. It just goes through the top of the carburetor, and that car's fine. And then it's fine, and I'm like, you dirty old, why I ought to if I had a rock, I'd. And I'm thinking, who do I talk to about something like this?
Right.
Let me talk to Ray.
I have a couple thoughts. You have a Holley. You have a Holley 600, a model 4160 on that car, as we've discussed.
Right.
The first a couple questions. What type of choke is on that carburetor?
The regular step type.
No, but is it electric? Is it an electric choke or is it
no
manifold?
It's a spring.
Heat? It's a spring.
Yes.
All right. So that's
yes.
a divorce choke with a spring. All
yes.
right. So that has to be looked at. You know, when the car is cold, when you move the throttle linkage, that
right.
the rod should push up and close the upper air valve.
I'm thinking all I have to do is just adjust the stove because you have the three screws and the black box, but it's a black cylinder.
All right.
And I just am thinking I may have to adjust that.
That's the other kind of choke. I thought you meant the spring on the manifold. You have the stove choke that's on the
yes.
carburetor. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that can be adjusted and, you know, if it's closed too far, the car won't idle when it's hot at all and when it's cold because it needs some air to come in. So you have to look
right.
at that. And there's a spec for that. The other thing, as we discussed, is as soon as you, you have an older school Holly. We've figured yes. that out by the screws. When you backfire one of them, like what happens in the morning, usually what happens is the power valve blows out. So
oh,
you
good.
Probably have a blown power valve, most likely. And as far as the low idle, I would look for, I would always start with the basics. I'd look for a vacuum issue. I'd like to put a vacuum, I remember we talked about your vacuum gauges.
And I did, young man. I did put a vacuum gauge on it this week.
Okay, what happened?
And I 19 PSI and steady.
When it was running in that low loping speed?
No, after I adjusted it.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Because that's what you want to see. You know, vacuum leak obviously steals, you know, the air away from the carburetor, so that'll cause a runability issue.
Mm-hmm.
Get a good look at that. You know, any manual that you can go online, there's tons of information on how to adjust those things. The Hollies is so common.
That's what I figure, and that's probably what I'm going to do. But I, you know, I'm always looking for that reaction, like, oh, all you have to do is, you know, just increase the mixture, you'll be fine. You know, I'm always looking for that answer, that reassurance that simple thing will remedy the whole problem. But no, I can totally go dig deep into it and just adjust it correctly. You know why? Because I have the time.
And our eye in the sky, Joe D, is reminding us that you need to check the idle specs both on and off the choke. Now, when you're on the choke, it's the fast idle adjustment. There's a separate screw for that. And then when it comes off the choke, there's a curb idle screw, which is the one you would adjust for.
Which I did. I adjusted the curb idle. And with that due process, I completely wiped out the adjustments. I'm assuming completely wiped out the adjustments on the fast idle.
No, so, it shouldn't. No, they're kind of separate systems on the carburetor.
Well. I don't know what I did.
You know, the fast idle comes in when the car is cold and the choke is set. Once the choke is off, that's out of unless you have a sticky a piece of linkage that's hanging it up or something like that. Those are all things you have to make sure that when the car is cold, the choke plate on top is mostly closed, and when it warms up and the idle comes down, that plate should be fully open. And those are two visual cues that you look at to see if there's maybe something else going on. But,
good to know.
Okay, you're on the way. You're on the way.
I'm on the way. Yeah, I'm still on a danger drive.
I love it.
I brought the car over to, I think I told you, I take the car over to school, my daughter's school, and pick up lunch. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. I drive the car there, the whole 2 miles, and bring it back. Mm-hmm. And I ran into some friends, and one of them came up to me and said, hey, are you going to donate your vehicle to the Memorial Day Parade?
A convertible, excellent.
And I'm like, at first I thought that's a great idea. But then I thought to myself, I'm still in that danger drive mode.
Yeah, true.
You're still in that mode. Like I don't mind if the car quits and my family's in it. They could walk. They know. They can walk. Yeah. But you don't want to have any old veterans in the car when it quits on you.
I did that once with my Fiat.
Wow.
We did the Kiwanis Memorial Day Parade. And it was me and my wife and our dog at the time. And the problem was just idling for so long. The fan kept coming on and the car was getting hot. So I popped the hood. You know, I have that clamshell hood that hinges from the front.
Sure.
So I opened it up about like halfway and to get air in there. And I was just watching. I knew the car in front of me had people walking on either side. So I was just looking at the people on the side, following them, because I couldn't see otherwise. I got this hood up in front of me. Yeah, parades are fun. You got to have the right kind of car to do a parade in.
I'll sure do. You sure do. And you're right. I do recall some idle issues with some individuals with older cars having some overheating issues with them. And I always think to myself, well, you know what? Give it a shot. But then I went, nah, I'm not taking that chance.
Right.
Not right now.
Oh, use the other one. Yeah, use the other Chrysler.
Yeah, the young one.
The little one.
The little one, yes. Right. The 93 that we keep calling the new one.
Right. Sure. Definitely.
That's got a new radiator in it. Why not?
Yeah.
But it is true, because I still call it the new one. I still call it the young one. It's the little one. It's kind of funny. And now it's, you know, I have teenagers coming up to me going, that car's so old.
Right.
Like, I'm like, what? You should see the fossil I have in the garage park next to it.
Yeah. Well,
but that is the truth. How about you? Well, what's going on? I'm looking at the Real _ Motormouth Radio here on Instagram, and I see you have your rear end in pieces.
Which reminds me to ask, did you take any pictures of your rocker trim installation process or your carburetor adjustment process?
No, I have not. I actually took a picture. Yes, I know. You're right.
People want to see that. People ask all the time.
They go, what lame brain thing is he doing now?
No, they want to see how people want to see this stuff.
I have a picture of the clamps holding the piece on. I do have that.
It does take a concerted effort to photograph while you're working. I've had a lot of trouble with it. I've gotten more accustomed to it as I've been doing it more. Because now I'm thinking as I'm working about the story I want to project. And like, oh, I need a picture of that. I need a picture. And you always miss something. But I'm glad you brought that up. This is a case where a gift that you didn't think you'd ever use came in handy. A few weeks ago, our good friend Dougie from the UD got in touch with me and said, hey, I got a shop press, a small one, a bench standing shop press. And you want it? You need it? I'm like, I really don't need it. We have a bigger press at the shop that's, even though it's hard to get out, it's there. And I'm thinking, like, what have I pressed? I had to press recently, and there was really nothing. But not being able to turn down a good gift of something that was, and it's new. Kevin and I drove over there, and we picked up this press, and I put it in my shed. And I used it yesterday. So the gift came around where I actually was able to, and I sent him a picture and said, hey, Doug, look at this. I'm using the press.
Son of a gun.
Yeah, it came in because I was going to have the parts store do the pressing for me. He said, wait a minute. I got a press. I can do this. So what happened was this story it's a quick story, but there's history. If you remember, I'll give you the history quick. When I first put the car together, I had the first day out, I was going to get exhaust done, and I heard a cheeping noise, like, geek, 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 geek. And what had happened was one of the lug stud, the lug nut, the wheel studs on those axles are threaded in because it's an Eaton posi. There's Mosher axles, Moroso studs, and one of them loosened and just cut a track through my wheel cylinder and dumped all the brake fluid.
I also know, just interrupt you 1 second, I also know that noise in a past story where a wheel flew off your car.
Oh, that was all right. Very similar noise. You're right. That was a wheel bearing at the time.
Wheel bearing, which made you lose a wheel, which caused you and your brother to go screaming as a projectile.
Interestingly, the wheel bearing would manifest itself after we were driving from Colorado to New York. So we would stop for gas, fill it up, and as we pulled away from the pump, you'd hear that geek, 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 and just usually we get out of the driveway apron, the noise will go away. So, of course, we paid great attention for that 8 seconds of noise, and when it went away, we forgot all about it. And said, 95 miles an hour, let's get home. And, of course, we did lose a wheel and the whole axle and the whole nine yards in Ohio. But anyway, different, same noise, different manifestation. So this one, I had fixed that, and I looked into how to affix these screw-in studs, and the popular thing at the time was tack weld them in. Now, I wasn't going to go take any axles out, but I did it in the car. I tack welded them in, and because of that, I just never took the wheels off, because if you think of it, when those studs screw in, they screw in right-hand direction. Now, when you put a lug nut on it and tighten it, you're now tightening in your right-hand direction, which is the left-hand direction to the stud, so I didn't want to loosen any more of them, so I didn't take the wheels off the car. For the last 4 or 5 years, until I had it at the shop last year and I was putting on the rear wheel trim, the stainless steel trim, and I couldn't get the screwdriver up because the rear tires are big.
I
took the tire off. I said, okay, now that the wheel's off, let me check the brakes. Pulled the drum off and I saw, wet brakes from a bad axle seal. So that was the job this weekend, was to change the axle seals on the car.
Oh boy!
And I've done this job. I've done axle seals plenty of times. I've done this stuff, taking axles out. It's no big deal. I kept the C clips. I didn't use C clip eliminators. I left them in. It's literally a matter of taking the rear cover off, draining the fluid. You get the wheels off, and what you do is you there's a cross shaft through the posi unit and a locking bolt. Locking bolt comes out, cross shaft drops out. At worst, you got to tap it with a punch. Mine just dropped out because everything is new. You take the, say you're going to work on the left axle first, like I did. from the outside, you push the axle in as far as it'll go, and then the C-clip is right there. You see it. So you take a magnet, just pull it out.
Oh, wow.
Well, the first side took me about, I don't know, better part of an hour. I actually had to make a phone call to our lifeline, our good friend Tori, who does he sold all the rear end parts. Now he's going to be selling rear ends because I know he speaks fluent Eaton, which is the posi unit, and Mosher, which are my axles. And I said to him, look, it's like the C clips are in like a little indent, like a trough. I have to lift out and then out, and I can't get them. So he says, Ray, listen, it should drop. I'm like, I know it should. This is how it's been done many times before. So I finally found out that by these darn screw-in axle studs that have big hex, Allen heads on them, the way they line up with the wheel cylinder, I felt like I could get them in further. Well, if I could, like, remove the wheel cylinder, which I could have done but didn't want to.
Right.
And I got him in a position where I got that left side out. And I said, okay, great. Good. Done. Now I know that it's just a matter of it's a game of fractions of an inch. The right side is harder because you have the ring gear to your left and you can't get the same shot. What I had to do with the right side was take my whiz wheel and on the car, cut that the head of one of those bolts clean off so I could line that up near the wheel cylinder and let it go in. I mean, I'm talking like not even a 16th of an inch.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I was able to get that C-clip out. And again, the studs just caused me problems every step of the way. So what did I do?
What did you do?
I ground off all the welds, got the studs out, and I went up to the auto parts store and I bought press-in studs because the axles are actually drilled with two sets of holes. One set of holes is threaded for the threaded studs, and the other set is for press-in studs. So hence, that's why I had to use the press to press in the studs.
Got it.
Now, the way we used to do that back in the day was if you had to just change one wheel stud on a car that broke, you would pull it from the rear, you got a big nut, and you put it over the stud.
And then and you sent it home.
And then you got a nut of the right size over it, and you would use that nut to kind of pull it through.
Yes. So
this time I pressed them, and I used red Loctite on all the studs just to be double safe. So now the only thing I have to see is if I have lug nuts that will fit, because the other studs, the Moroso studs, were half 20. They were big. These are standard size now, which is 7/16-20. So I may have to go buy 10 more lug nuts. But so that's where I got as of yesterday. The axles are still not back in. I got it to the point of all I got to do is tap the seals in, install the axles, and just reverse the procedure and put it back together.
Got it.
That was my Saturday.
Wow. Holy smokes. So we were both lying down or sitting down on the cement, you and I.
And again, someone said to me, hey, why didn't you do that job at the shop? And I said, you know, because I know what's at the shop. I would have had to move at least three, maybe five cars to get it positioned, because I wouldn't put it on the lift in the middle, because if it got laid up, which indeed it did, that kind of screws everything up, you know, for during the week. So I would want to use the lift on the end, which really...
It's a job you don't want to rush, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I want to get the car off the end lift anyway, because it's the Grand National. That's the next one I'm going to work on at the shop. I got to do the master and the booster. But still, I would have had to move... I would have had to move cars, equipment, parts... I probably would have had an hour in just moving stuff around. I said, you know what? So it was cool. I had the car backed in the garage. I hadn't used it since last year. Took it out. I took a nice 20-minute blast around town. It felt so good just to drive it again, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then came home, pulled it in so that it's faced, you know, the back is out, so I have room to work. Jacked it up, threw the stands under it, and I'm on my creeper, you know, working on the, I'm like,
oh my gosh.
As my neck is like, you know, give me, I'm like, could have been on the lift, but no.
You're on the creeper. You're working down with the plebeians, just like me.
You know, you never forget where you come from. It gets a little harder. The worst thing was that the arthritis I have in my thumb, of course, that's the part of the hand that I hit with the hammer when I was... how's it going to get any worse? Well, I know what can only get better.
What?
It's the bottom of the hour. Do we have that thing, that voodoo that you do, the honor group of the hour?
You mean that what the hell is it we do at the bottom of the hour?
That's the
one. Yes, we do. Yes, Ray, I'm glad you asked. The Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. People who still like French cars.
Nice.
That's right.
That's
if
more.
You enjoy the strange seating positions and the soft, spongy marshmallow ride, if you enjoy the adventure of trying to find simple parts for your French car, like an oil filter or a fan belt, do French cars even have those anymore?
I don't know.
If you enjoy correcting the plebeians, speaking of plebeians, if you enjoy correcting the plebeian individuals that pronounce it Renault or Citroën or some of the real mental giants that say Pukiat, then if you still appreciate a French car like you would French wine or French food or even French fries, I guess you could say, then you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
Nice.
They all can't be gems.
I know that Dougie does not fall into that group. He doesn't have
I know a lot of people that don't.
Very good. All right, so with that, we'll play a couple spots, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio when you can call us at 516-572-7440. For Chris, this is Ray. Let's go and take a welcome to paradise on our way out, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHBC. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limerick and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouths.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motor Mouth!
You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
No, hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motor Mouth!
A tornado of bourbon legend and BS.
No, I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Rude.
As always, you are consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming. I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
I'll call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
So I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motor Mouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motormouth!
Got a car question? Give the Motormouths a call at 516-572-7440.
Thank you, Kim. Give him the phone number. Give us a call. Like Kim said, 516-572-7440. We'll talk to you about your stuff, our stuff, any stuff that you have in the middle of the mix. And, yeah, we'll make it happen. That's what we do here.
That's right. Crank it up and piss off the neighbors. Motormouth Radio. Yes.
Good T-shirt.
Right. You know, I'm looking at you. It's funny because I'm looking at the picture on Instagram that you took. Nice picture of the car. Car looks fantastic. Is the trunk closed? Question to you. Is the trunk closed? In the picture. Do you remember?
Don't recall. I don't remember.
Okay. Because I'm looking at an alignment issue, Ray.
Okay.
I'm looking at an alignment. See, a simple fix on that one. So when you, after you do the wheel bearings on the axle, just drop the hinge down a little bit on the catch. the body catcher on the trunk. Just drop it down.
You know, it's very possible, and I'll tell you why. I noticed when I got in and out of the car yesterday, the driver's door, like you let it go and it doesn't want to close because the weather strip is all brand new. And
yeah.
And even though the door's been closed all winter, that stuff hasn't heated and sealed yet. It's just kind of, you know, that stuff has to wear its way in. So a lot of times when you do a restoration like this, you have to go back a number of times. You don't want to make that adjustment final until it's going to be final. So
agreed.
Yeah, no, I'll keep my eye on that. Sure.
I am having a hard time, and you know I am such a weenie about this. I am having a hard time with the 300 because I don't think there's one panel that matches up on it. So I am just as in gross violation of panel mismatch as the next guy because whomever butcher put this thing together put it together in record time, and you could tell. So, and it's really, really difficult to line things up on this car. It really is. Cause you start moving things around. And mind you, I'm doing it while the car is still painted and the paint on the car flies off at any, you lean on it and the paint is flying off this car,
wow.
Which kills me. Cause I still don't have a proper, duplicolor for it.
Okay.
So now mind you, I can mix color. I can do that and get pretty darn close. I just need the right colors and I have to find them all in all the array of spray paints and cans of paint I have around the house to mix up the right color. Cause I could do it myself. I really could. And a very good friend of mine, you know him, one of our former co-hosts, Tony Trincilla, has always said to me, he says, you can match color by sight. He said, and then the irony is I still can, which is why I don't do anything. I don't do many things very, very well, but this was one thing I do. So it's just a matter of getting the cans, putting them together. And I'm going to probably have to do that sooner than later because there's some scratches under there that I've noticed and some paint flying off that I've noticed that I'm going to have to address.
Yeah, I'll say that I've seen through the years that green is kind of tough to match sometimes.
It is.
And now you have to fade. You got paint fade and all of that. So, yeah, greens are not always the easiest colors.
Mm-hmm. I had that issue when I had that Cadillac. It had a bronze color on it. It was similar to your car, similar to the color of your gold, but it was, I don't know, a little bit more golder, browner, I guess you could say. It wasn't as vibrant as yours, but I do remember going over to Eagle Paint in Hempstead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've had him on many, many years ago. His name was Glenn.
Okay.
I can't think of his last name, but I went there and Glenn actually took out a camera that he rested on the fender of the car and took a picture of the paint and mixed it up and it shot well.
Yeah.
I would say it was a good match. I would call it a good match, basically. But like if you looked at it one way, it looked fantastic. If you looked at it just in a different light, you could see that there was a shade difference. But nothing bad, nothing bad at all. It was perfect as far as I was concerned.
The good friends we have who I know who are painters, like my buddy TJ and Mike and the guys over at Celebrity Chase, they, you know, blending is an art form. Like it's almost like anybody can paint if it's prepped right.
Yes.
But to blend and match is something that's a whole nother skill set. And,
gosh, yes.
Especially with the metallics and the, you know, the multi, layers and the pearls and all of that stuff. It's really, you know, like we were at the shop this week and Derek was, they had a Z3 that he did the bodywork on. It went out and they painted it and it came back. And he was calling out some of the, we're standing now about 15 feet away. And he said, like, oh, you see the difference? I'm like, no. He's like, look right there where it goes over here. I'm like, and the Gert drops down. He goes, you see it's that beautiful blue metallic car. He goes, it looks like a little purple. I'm like, no. And I'm pretty good. especially when it's pointed out, I'm pretty good at seeing it. He said, stand here, stay here. He walked over to the car and he pointed. And I was like, I'm not just not picking that up. I don't know what he's seeing, but.
Wow.
You know, I said, boy, you guys are like above and beyond, man.
That is an eagle eye. Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. I watched Mike blend the door on that little Sunbird that I had many years ago, the blue. Yeah. And that was a tough blue. That was one of those 80s type of blues that was kind of like this bright, vibrant, metallic blue. And he blended that like, oh my gosh. And just to watch him do it was like you say, it was certainly an art form, because he went past the fender and blended into the door with the paint and came back. And it's one of those times where you look at it and it's almost like watching like Bob Ross.
Yeah.
Remember Bob Ross? Bob Ross would paint something and he'd say, oh, let's put a cabin here in this yeah. little scene. And he would take a blob of black paint and all this greenery and go right in the middle of it. And my father and I would jump up like it was a sporting event going, oh, you just ruined it. What's the matter with you? But then he would blend it in and it would look beautiful. And a similar thing happened with Mike as he was painting the fender of the car. He went into the door and the first thought in my mind was, oh, you ruined it. What are you doing? And then next thing you know, he just, whatever he did, he blended it together. And I was like, wow,
yeah,
it looked fantastic. So yeah, it is, I guess it's got to get ugly before it can get good.
We have these discussions all the time because Derek is a very good body man. And he comes and helps me with some mechanical stuff, especially if I need a small hand to get up into places. And I call him over to see like the crazy stuff that I find that was done by somebody else that shouldn't have ever been done. Those posts are up there too, mostly electrical stuff. And he calls me over to show me we were looking at some Audis this week. Oh my God, the way they build these cars is like ridiculous. So.
Don't you know that's a four letter word in my vernacular?
Yeah, I know. Well, the new ones are no better. I'll tell you what happened. He had a new Audi.
Tell us.
And he had the inner door panel off. He had to take the side view mirror off on the right side. And usually there's bolts right there. Well, they were hidden through the short side of the door, hidden inside. Once we found those, then it was a matter of, okay, it's a power mirror. You have to unclip the plug.
Sure.
So usually that's in the inner door panel. And there's a connector somewhere halfway down that you, no. We look at this harness and it comes down and it mates up with the harness from the power window motor. It's tied together, goes all the way down, and it comes under, plugs in to the power window motor.
Oh,
there were three connectors down there. So he said, okay, so I see it. Let's get it off. But we're looking and there's no tab to release the clip, which of course. So like, all right, how did they do this? So I said, listen, I think what you got to do is take these three Torx screws off, take the motor off. I said, and let's hope that doesn't untrigger like a ladder assembly. Sometimes they use those like the
yes,
right?
Sometimes the motor is what holds it all together.
Yeah, I said, so listen, we got to just do this. And the motor came off clean. And then when you turned it around, the three clips at the bottom, all of those, the releasing fingers were actually facing the door. It was like the clips were put on. Well, they weren't put on backwards. Like they were engineered to be put on backwards.
Right.
So I was like, who the hell designed it? Well, Thursday night I'm playing in traffic. I had I had Macoman Brian on and I asked him because he's a Porsche Audi guy. And he said, oh no, Ray. He says, it looks like they're still up to their old tricks. I'm like, what do you mean? He says, a lot of those cars, and he ran down a number of them. I don't remember which ones. He said, they were made to be serviced where you take the outer door skin off.
I was going to ask you that. I was going to say it sounds like you have to access it from the other side. Yeah.
How stupid is that? And then, of course, you're looking at the others. And I said, yeah, but even then you got to go through like the track, the motor. I said, whose design was this? It was ridiculous.
Yeah, because I know there was I remember when I was a kid at a body shop. And the car was a 63 or a 64 Buick Riviera.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first car I ever saw that had that issue where you had to pull the door skin off in order to access the inner door mechanism.
Ridiculous.
And the outer skin came off. I remember that.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess it is in a way.
Yeah.
But I was working on, I had to work on that 86 Riv, and that was one of those where you had to get your hands in there to get the motor out, and everything was riveted together. And I do remember hugging that door panel, hugging the door itself, because my hands were literally in there when I was working backwards and blind. And I'm looking around for the door skin nuts and bolts and clips. I'm like, there's got to be an outer door skin. No. They can't do this stupidity. You know, there's got to be. And there wasn't.
The other thing on the same car was he had to remove the right front headlight. And he told me, I wasn't there when he was doing it, but he said, he goes, this should have taken me, you know, 5-10 minutes. He goes, it took me an hour and a half. Because it just wouldn't release. And he showed me in the upper structure of the radiator support, you know, there's various holes and dimples and things. Now with the light out, it was evident what happened. There was one hole up there, and you had to use, he actually bought these from Matco Man Brian, these extra long hand Torx drivers. They're like, you know, 12 inches long. Because you had to go through that hole all the way down, and that's where the screw was at the bottom. So with the light out, you can see it. It's obvious. But with it all together, that hole's just another hole. And you look in there, you can't see anything. I said they needed, like, neon arrows to say, here, here, here. So now I was talking to our good friend Ray the Fixer about something else, and I brought this up. And he said, oh, yeah. He goes, and you know that headlight has to be programmed through the computer. There's no manual adjustments. Once you put the new headlight in, you have to go in with the proper scan tool, which is probably an Audi-only scan tool, and tell that car that the headlight, he goes, the headlight will work. He goes, but you may not get, you know, in the new cars, they have like the LEDs that'll do like running light and directional.
Sure.
And sometimes when the directional flashes, you know, the other half of it goes out. He goes, none of that. He goes, the headlight will work because it's a safety thing. But none of the other stuff will work until it's programmed with the scan tool. So I don't know if they have that tool, but.
Wow.
Yeah, welcome to the new world.
Yeah, Audi, four-letter word, that's for sure.
Yeah, there you go.
There was, I do remember when I had the Pathfinder, there was that side signal light cluster that sat next to the headlight, and I had to get in there to fix one of the rust holes. I had to remove that, and it was put together. It was not bolted in. It had those little, it looked like a tip where there was like a ball at the end of it, and it went into like a receiver, just was a regular circular hole. So it was able in the factory, I guess, you plugged it in, put it up against the car, and with the ball of your hand, boom, snapped it, and it was now affixed to the car. There were no bolts. So you had to get behind there with a special tool. So, of course, I go online to find out what this tool is, and I went to some Pathfinder club, and they said, take an old butter knife and bend an L in it about an inch in, and get that, fish that in there, and that's what you're going to use to pull on, because he says you'll break them otherwise.
Sure.
If you try and force it off with your fingers or anything, he says you'll break that tip, and you don't want to break the tip. And sure enough, and I still have that butter knife that was, I don't know, my grandmother's butter knife or something, that I had to literally put in a vise and bend the blade, the tip of the blade, about an inch, maybe a little less than an inch, in the perfect L position to fish it in there and yank on that corner light just to pop it off.
Well, I'll tell you, we have talked about this many times in the past through the years about homemade and modified tools that we do make. And Derek is one of those guys. He has a couple of old, I guess they're steak knives, but the blades are down to like only 2.5-3 inches. And I see him. Right. He sharpens them. And that's what he uses all the time to get in and clear Bondo, or he does he's like, yeah, this is, you know, he goes, you can't buy a tool like this. He says, this is better. This works. And, you know, and I agree. I understand how that works. You know?
Well, sure do. Yeah. Cause, and yeah, we do. We have tools like this constantly reaching for them. I was talking about a bent screwdriver one time. I have at the tool bench, at the ready, is an old odd lot black plastic handled bent cheap screwdriver. And I can't tell you, Ray, how many uses this thing has. It truly is. It stirs paint. It takes apart bed or stubborn staples. Uh-huh. Like I'm doing the door panels on the Chrysler, and I'm taking the door panels apart. Well, of course, the upper trim, you know this, the upper trim on the door panel is like chrome, is a chrome piece with like a rubber strip that runs across that shaped like a U as it runs down. So it traps dirt and whatever have you, and it sits up against the glass. Well, that whole affair is attached with these ungodly hard metal staples.
Uh-huh.
And I have to get in there with this screwdriver and literally ram it into the staple. What are you showing me here? Are you showing me, what is that? Is that a bent screwdriver or is that a, what is that?
Those are Derek's steak knives.
Oh, those are Derek's steak knives. Ah, you took a picture of it. Oh, that's hysterical. I see it now. Yeah.
I did, because I'm gonna post it at one point. I just have to figure out how to work it out into a post.
I'll take a picture of that screwdriver. I can grab it right now. But that's what it's one of those screwdrivers that I have to jam in there, and you could tell these staples are so hard it scars the screwdriver.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm not using a good screwdriver. I mean, we're talking about a regular blade screwdriver, but I'm not going to torture a good tool when I could torture this old junky tool.
You know, I'll tell you the truth. That's why on my car, I don't have those inner flaps over the upper control arms. GM had sold, they put this like, it's like a heavy tar paper kind of a thing. And I just
bought a set for my car.
And they were fixed with these heavy duty staples. And I looked, I can get the tar paper stuff, but they don't have the staples anymore. I don't know how they put them in at the factory. They probably had some super Mongo gun. I said, you know what? I'll leave them off and let more airflow through. So I can see my tubular control arms that I paid for. So.
Chrysler uses a wire clip, and it literally is a piece of wire that is bent in a position where it has a handle for your thumb, and it kind of like does like this cross sort of pattern that goes through that hole,
right?
And kind of wedges itself, holding the tar paper. That, like you say, that tar material.
Yeah, I don't know what it really is.
I just literally, when I did the other wheel well, I did the driver's wheel well.
Right.
So now the matches the passenger wheel well.
Yeah.
So I took the driver's wheel well down, and it's kind of funny because I did that in stages as well. Because I was fearful of the bolts snapping. I just got in there one night. I had to take the tire off to adjust the, front brake drum. Because that's when you got manual brakes and all drums, you got to adjust them.
Correct.
So I adjusted the front brake. So I figured, well, I got the tire off. I said, let me just undo the bolts. Let me just play with the bolts because I had to get the wheel well out anyway.
Right.
And I just went in there and sprayed them all with WD-40, let it sit for an hour while I was adjusting and doing my thing. And then I just tried them all. And I got about two or three of them gave me a little trouble. So I went and got the inductor.
Excellent.
And the inductor is just a beautiful thing. And I got on there and got the other three out with the inductor.
I gotta get those guys back on the show.
Yes. And left it that way. Put the tire back on. So when the time came to actually take that wheel well out, clean it, paint it, and put it back in again, it came out in minutes.
Yeah.
And I was able to get it down, sand it, paint it, and then I put the tar paper on it, the tar material on when I installed it again.
Right.
So, and I put those clips in there and bang, bang, bang. It went in nice and easy. But I do know the staples that you're talking about that affix the GM tar material to the wheel well. And no, I wouldn't want to tackle those either because I think Chrysler bought those and put them on the door panels. He bought the same clips, same staples.
I would like to know how they installed them at the factory. There had to be some Mongo gun that did that.
Yeah.
Because they put them in and they bent them under. So they, I don't know.
Yeah. And that's the way it is on this door panel. And I literally tortured this poor screwdriver that is bent and twisted to remove, just to bend them out so I can get in there with a pair of needle nose pliers and straighten them out so I can slide them, literally slide them out of the holes that they're in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I gotcha.
So, and the funny thing is, I don't know what I'm trying to save them because I don't know what staple to use. Like you say, they're not around.
Yeah, the thing to do is look through the restoration places to see if they offer it as a restoration part, which isn't, you know, I mean, like I said, I looked for the GM, they didn't have it. I forget what they did have. They had something else, and I said, I don't want to use that. So,
well, this is why I've always said I would much rather, especially with these door panels, I'd much rather buy more door panels that are ruined because that's what I have. I have two sets of each.
Yeah.
And I'm taking both sets and making one good set out of it. And that's what I'm doing right now.
Right.
That's the nighttime job. Usually when everybody's asleep in the house, I come down into the basement, go over to the tool bench where you will always find a door panel on the tool bench. And I'm trying to peel that material off and I'm learning the material, how far you can peel it before it snaps and breaks, how far you can heat it, where it's glued, where it's not. I'm learning on the rotten door panel.
Yeah, sure. That's what you're
taking that apart first so I don't have to break the good door panel that I'm also going to have to take apart.
Right.
So yeah, this is all one big learning experience for me because I've never had to take apart a door panel because usually a GM door panel is in pretty good condition.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. At this stage in my life, I'm still learning things working on older cars because I'm working on cars that I never really worked on in the past. You know, because you work on what you drive and your friends' cars. And, you know, now I'm working on a lot of other things that I never really touched. So it's great because just like being here and finding out like what works and what doesn't work. Don't put that button on. Make sure you lower that. You know, you can teach an old dog new tricks. I'm sorry. You really can.
Yes. Especially now here at Motormouth Radio, you can teach an old dog new tricks. That's for sure. And I've always said it. I thought I was going to dispense information on this show. Oh, no. I am the lead student in this program. And I've proved that over and over again that this is I'm here to learn.
Very true. So what's up? What's on the plate for the besides the rocker panel? Anything on the plate for the week?
Oh no, definitely it's rocker panel and it's carburetors. That's what we're doing. My goal here this year, this summer, is to use the car more. That's my goal.
Good.
Is just to use it more and to repair what needs to be done. It's got the power steering still. The power steering pump still leaks in the back, even after I put a new rebuilding kit in it. It still leaks. I don't know why. I'm going to figure that out too. But we're just going to use the car until it's pretty much foolproof.
Right.
That's the whole goal this summer. That's what I'm planning on doing. Sure, well, starting today.
The car was in a long hibernation, so it needs to come out slowly and be, you know, worked in and you know, parts change and that's what happens. Yeah.
And what's your plan? What do you plan on doing? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to put this rear end back together. I'm not going to do it today because we have a family thing today. And tomorrow I got some. So sometime in the beginning of the week, I'll throw that back together, which I got to clean the brakes. I got to see how impregnated they got with the axle, you know, with the.
Oh, yeah.
So
it got on the pads.
Well, yeah, the shoes, it's drum brakes in the back. Sure. Because it just coated everything. So I have to clean those really good and then, you know.
I hope you're still able to reuse them.
If not, I'll get another set. But
okay, because, I'd order one now.
I'm not going to go that far. But,
exactly. I'd put an order for it now.
Yeah, walk up to the parts store and there they go.
All right. Okay.
So we're going to get out of here so Kim can get her stuff done here and play what do you call it? Thunder Road, best of Springsteen in the band. So what do we always say, Chris, to people who want to know if they can hang with us?
Don't follow us home and make sure your carburetor doesn't puff in the top when you start your car.
Right. And we'll talk to you all next week. Chris, I'll talk to you during the week if you need a hand.
Yes, thank you. Same here.
But Chris Witcher, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio signing off. We'll be back next week with more of this hilarity on 90.3 WHBC.
See you, bye.
See ya. We'll be right back.